I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. I remember my affliction, my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope.
Welcome to the Broken Book Podcast. We're your hosts, Amanda
and Sam. And we're ready again this week to appreciate, dissect, criticize, defend, and generally nerd out about the Bible.
On the Minnesota today, I want to introduce my husband, Jim Hayes.
Hello.
So, Jim had this really great idea that we thought would work really well in a Minnesota, and so he's going to share it with you guys.
So this comes from a couple different threads, but basically the main idea is, what if the Bible were made today? Some of the different pieces that came into thinking about this were reading Rob Bell's What is the Bible? And just hearing how he talks about the Bible as being a library, a collection of a bunch of different books put together. When you think about the individual component parts, like just looking at the book of Psalms or just looking at the Proverbs and thinking about, well, what is the actual genre of this piece? It helps me think about like, oh, well, what would that genre have been if it were made today? And then also just thinking about the idea that the Bible is a closed canon and we're not continuing to add books to it. I was like, well, if we kept adding books to it, what would that look like? And it probably wouldn't just be like books that we would add. There would also be, you know, YouTube videos or blog posts or emails that would get mixed in there. And then taking that back to the original context of, oh, right, but like the Bible itself actually isn't just books. None of those things are books. They're composed of letters that were written to people, genealogies that were written down. People took all of these different things. Some of them weren't even written to begin with. They were oral traditions in some cases, and then kind of stapled them all together and said, hey, we've got a Bible. So, yeah, thinking about, like, one, what would those books translated into today's context, what would their genres be? And also, if we were still adding more things to the Bible today, like, what form would they take? What would be the best form for those parts of the Bible, and how would we add new things?
One thing that Jim suggested that I thought was brilliant immediately was that all the genealogies should be put into databases.
Right, yeah. So it makes no sense when you're reading these and it's like, okay, this is not like entertaining reading, but that's because it's not really meant to be read as like a great story. It's meant to like record information in a particular format. Yeah. And so it should be in some kind of database that you can query or at least like a spreadsheet at the minimum, you know?
Yeah, it was information that was so important that it got embedded into their holy book, which was the best way of carrying on that information down through the generations and saving it and preserving it. But then when we take that today and we're like, oh, and you should read the whole Bible, it's like, it's probably not gonna like do you a lot of good to like read directly through the genealogies.
Here, read this spreadsheet. It's so exciting.
Right.
So, also thinking about the like, okay, this isn't really the best format for this. The next thing that jumps to mind immediately is the different architectural plans for things. So you've got,
yes,
like how to build Noah's Ark, or what are the dimensions of the tabernacle and stuff. And this is so many feet and or cubits long, and
right.
Like that should all just be CAD files and stuff that you're looking at.
Oh my gosh, that would be so much better. It's sort of crazy that it was, like, originally, like, preserved as oral tradition. Oral tradition is, like, even worse than having it written down in text form.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So those are some of the things that would, like, definitely improve by a format shift. There's also some things where it's just like, okay, well, what would the equivalent be? So you've got all of Paul's letters, right? And so I don't know if those would be either just like emails that were written to the pastor, or maybe they're like an open letter that's like written on his blog or something that gets shared around on Facebook.
Some of them tend to be more like more like an email that was originally like written to like one particular audience, but then like got forwarded out to like everyone else at some point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Other ones maybe were more intended to be open letters to begin with.
Right. And of course, you've got the Psalms, which they're not all the same as each other, but some of those would just be songs, actually, or some of them would be poetry of different kinds.
I think it'd be really nice if, at the very bare minimum, the Psalms had been written as a hymnal with musical notes and stuff.
So that we would know how they were supposed to go.
Yeah, at all.
The closest is the one that's an acrostic, right? Where we've got at least some idea of more of the structure of how the thing works. We can't actually, like, sing it, at least, but you've got more of the poeticalness being preserved and carried on and showing through. Yeah.
I believe that there is, like, an oral tradition still among Jewish people today of, like, how you're supposed to, like, chant the Psalms and potentially some other Bible verses as well.
Yeah, and there's other songs, too, like Mary's song.
Oh, yeah! There's, like, all the songs that just, like, pop up in the middle of things.
Does Miriam have a song?
Miriam has a song, yep.
Right, and so, like, that would actually, if it were today, we would actually have that song. Or, like, the one where David is singing about, like, oh, I've, you know, or the people are singing about David, and they're like, Saul has killed his thousands, and David is tens of thousands.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That would be great to know, like, how that was supposed to go.
That would have been fun if we had known how that went. Yeah, that'd be sweet. Ah, I'm, like, super sad now that we don't have the tunes for all those songs.
And, of course, some of them would maybe not just be MP3s, but would be video files where we'd have, like, the music video to go along with it. That would be awesome.
That would be so epic.
I'm just trying to imagine what would be in the background for, like, Saul killed his thousands. It's, like, just people, like, massacring people in the background, like, heads getting chopped off or whatever.
Wow. It could be, like, something that would fit on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, maybe so. How about podcasts? Is there anything that you think would take podcast form? Sometimes, as a podcast, people will just record talks or sermons or things that people have given redistribute those. So probably some of the sermons and things that Jesus gave would have been recorded as podcasts and then...
Oh my gosh!
Would be shared. You
could have the Sermon on the Mount as a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount as a podcast. Yes. Want. Mm-hmm. So much want.
Yeah. Would have been easier on him, probably, if he'd had that. Because from what I understand, like, we think of it as though, like, Jesus went up and, like, delivered the Sermon on the Mount one time. But, like, really, it was more like he had different themes. And, like, the things that you see in the Sermon on the Mount were things that he gave in, like, probably lots of sermons on... There were, like, lots of sermons on the Mount.
Sure, I'm sure.
And we just have them sort of collected in one place. So if he could have distributed it a little more widely, if it had been, you know, recorded and people could have listened to it that way. But it got written down, so that's doing a decent job of...
It really has spread rather widely, considering.
Even though it was, you know, oral tradition to begin with there. Of course, it would be, like, pictures and stuff too, right? Because a lot of times, if you read something on the internet, it's not just one format or one medium. You'll have text, but then mixed in will be an MP3 or like a picture or a graph or an image of something. So we would know what more people look like. And
yeah, that'd be nice. Okay, what I super want, blog posts of Acts. Like Luke blogging Acts, like as it's happening, basically, with pictures.
Uh-huh. Day by day, like...
Day by day.
Here's the update from today, like, oh man, you should have seen, like, what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. You're not gonna believe it.
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, sorry, I didn't post for a while, we got shipwrecked, and, like, my hard drive crashed.
Yeah. That's fair. That's legitimate. And there'll probably be animated files, GIFs, to... memes, right? What would be... Where would those show up?
I think we figured out that Proverbs would be memes,
which
would be so amazing.
So good. So let's see.
Train your child in the way they should go. What's the punchline?
I don't know. Akan has wisdom. Please get wisdom.
I don't always.
Lean on the Lord. for trust in the Lord, but what I do, it is not in my own understanding. I think I probably butchered that.
But. Yeah, it's okay. I think those would be very good memes. I mean, very terrible memes. Or very good memes, depending. Those are sort of the same thing.
Is it like puns where being good and being bad are actually, like, they're measured on the absolute value scales, just whether you get a reaction, basically?
I think so. I think that's the way that memes work.
Same for memes.
Yeah. What would Revelation be?
Well, depends on the parts, because there's, like, the letters to the churches at the beginning, which would be,
true, I don't
know, emails or blog posts or something.
Yeah.
And then there's all the...
They seem more like open letters. Like, yeah. They're really passive-aggressive.
Yes. Fair, fair. But then you've got all the, like, really trippy imagery, where it's like, this is a beast, and this thing's got, like, seven heads, or this is scrolls, and it's just, like, crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
And you're like, not really, it's all symbolic and, like, represents something else.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we recently saw, like, a Lego version of the Bible, and, like, half of the New Testament was just, like, Revelation. Like, making Lego versions just the straight-up...
Taking the literally symbols
completely literally and making, like, Lego versions of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if the dragon has, like, seven heads, and each head has a crown, and each head has, you know, like...
Horns.
Five horns or something, like, they made a Lego dragon with all of those things.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so maybe it could be, like, a graphic novel, or also just stuff with, like, really weird... symbols that you can't really understand exactly what they're supposed to mean, but you're like, I'm pretty sure this is supposed to be deep. I just don't know what it is, like music videos, right?
Right. Yeah, I think a music video would be a much better interpretation than a graphic novel. Because graphic novels, I think, tend to be, like, more taken, like, literally, like, there really is a monster that this person is fighting because they're a superhero, basically.
I mean, that would be awesome, though. Like, Jesus with, like, the swords coming out of his mouth. And, you know, the, like, shining really brightly and, like, walking amongst the lampstands, like, that would be a pretty awesome superhero.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the world building is, like, even worse than for most superheroes, though.
Okay, that's fair.
So, like, yeah, to have it as, like, a music video that's just, like, super trippy. When you put, like, weird stuff in a music video, people understand that you're not supposed to take it literally. Like, it's symbolic of something. Or, like, weird, like, music lyrics, they're always like, oh, I wonder what that means. People aren't like, oh, man, like, why is he talking about this thing that doesn't exist? Or, like, I bet they're predicting the future, and, like, I don't know, people...
Now we know when the world's going to end because of this music video where a thing happened!
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think I would prefer it if Revelation had been made as a trippy music video.
Yeah. In terms of, like, major file formats, right, there's images, you got your, like, Word documents and Excel spreadsheets. The other major program that I think of is, like, PowerPoint.
Mm.
Is there anything that's, like, trying to sell you something, or, like, bullet points, or something like that?
The first thing that came to mind for me on that was just, like, the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments are intended to be, like, the bullet point version of the law, right? Mm. You know, like,
uh-huh.
You can sort of... look at your fingers and, like, be like, okay, these are, like, the
yes,
nice. Number of things that I need to remember are the number of my fingers, so even if I can't count, I can still sort of remember mm-hmm. them that way.
Yeah. So, Moses does, like, a pretty good job, because there's so much information there, and he consolidates it into, like, I don't know, probably, like, two slides that have five bullet points each.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Well,
No.
Two slides. One with four bullet points and one with six.
Yeah.
Here's how you relate to God. Here's how you relate to other people.
Sure.
Which, speaking of, Jesus is, like, better at PowerPoint than Moses, because he just, like, has two slides that each have one bullet point.
This is true.
Love God, love others. That's so much easier to remember.
It's true. Yeah, that, well done, Jesus. You are better at PowerPoint. I think he just has one slide, though. One slide with two bullet points.
One slide with two, okay.
Yeah, that's way better than two slides, one with four and one with six. Six bullet points on one slide, like, that's...
Really, you should only have, like, 3 points per slide at most.
Uh-huh. So... five is, like, sort of, like, the limit.
Agreed. Of course, contrast that with the entirety of the law, you know, that today would just be like legal code, legalese, like here, read through these Ohio Revised Code 27.234.618.
Yeah.
And you need like a lawyer to be able to understand what it's trying to say.
Yeah, that is the way that the law often feels. I was like complaining and thinking about how annoying it is that the law in the Bible is like not organized well. And I was like, yeah, like our laws are organized way better today. And then Jim was like, no, they're not. Apparently I didn't know this, but.
Yeah, there's sort of a superstructure a lot of times, but then things will just get tacked in kind of wherever they need to based on, oh, and we have this new bill that's coming in, but somebody attached a rider to it and it really has nothing to do with the rest of the bill.
So things are just, like, added in the order that they get passed sometimes.
Or, I mean, a lot of times they'll, like, insert things in an area, but there might be something else that, like, comes along with it. And
that's not related.
Yeah.
Well, see, this makes so much more sense of, like, Leviticus. I feel so much less judgmental over, like, the law now. Because it's like, oh, like, we're not doing any better than that.
And then there's all the, and here's how to, like, make sure you don't get mold and stuff in your house.
Yeah.
So so we like just bought a house, and one of the things that happens when you're purchasing a house is they're required to like give you this little pamphlet telling you about all the dangers of radon.
Yeah.
Which Amanda was like looking that over.
In case you didn't know this, having radon in your house is like a pretty common thing, and it can be as bad for you as smoking, which was very surprising to me, and I was like very glad of this radon pamphlet. There's also sort of like this public health brochure for mold, like in Leviticus, that's like what to do if you find mold on your house or like on your garment or on your pot
or if you have a weird sore, like you gotta make sure you take it to the priest and have them look at it.
And here's like the procedure of like how many times the priest has to look at it and how long they wait in between and what you do to like purify it. And then if it doesn't work, what you have to do.
Yeah.
And
so like we have stuff like that today, like these various public health codes of, you know, if a restaurant doesn't meet the sanitation grade or whatever, then, you know, somebody comes back at a certain regularity to check everything out and make sure that they're up to code or they get shut down. And you got to knock that whole house down to the ground and nobody can live there anymore.
Or the person becomes unclean and they have to like live outside of the town and like ring a bell and say unclean whenever they like come towards people.
I don't think we have that today. Is there any equivalent to that today?
Yes, they put you in the hospital and they like make people wear suits, otherwise they can't see you. That's
okay, fair.
It's pretty bad. Like, I wouldn't want that to happen to me. Song of Solomon.
It's like a porno or trashy romance novel or something.
Yeah, it could be that. I was thinking it doesn't have like enough details to really be a romance novel. It's way too short.
There's not really character development.
No, there's not really a plot.
Sent to my love.
Yeah,
and now I'll go wander around the city.
Yeah,
and
yeah. To me, it feels more like a song, actually, like a clubbing song or something.
So just like, oh man, my love's so hot, my love's so hot. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yep, pretty much.
Wanna bang 'em? Yeah. Yeah, that's
boobs and tits, boobs and tits. Pretty much.
Fair enough. Then we've got all of your favorite biblical term, Deuteronomistic history. I think I jumbled that a little bit.
No, I think you said it right. Deuteronomistic history.
Deuteronomistic history.
Yeah, Deuteronomistic history.
Yeah.
Let's just keep saying that word over and over again.
I think that's enough times. Let's see.
We're not going to explain what it is? You, like, gave me a lecture on always explaining what it is whenever we use that word.
I thought maybe you had explained it enough times, but I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically it's just the book of Joshua through the book of 2 Kings. It's the story of how the people of Israel didn't follow the book of Deuteronomy and all of the bad things that happened to them because of that.
So that includes Judges, right?
Yes, that includes Judges.
Yeah. So the Judges, that would be some kind of like straight to Netflix TV release thing.
Yes.
They just make a little series following some of the different judges around. They could have different seasons, right? With different judges.
That would be sweet.
And the awesome stuff that they did.
Yeah, I want to see that. I heard that the series Kings was really good. That was about like Saul and David and stuff. It's set in this futuristic post-apocalyptic setting. Sounds so awesome to me.
Nice. I had not heard about that.
Yeah. Also part of Deuteronomistic history. Jonah.
Yes, that one's just like such a goofy story, right? With, and then I got swallowed by a great fish, and then I went up, and I feel like the, you know, the VeggieTales interpretation, like, it needs to be just like an animated story to like show off sort of the goofiness of what's going on here, like exaggerating, like, oh, this like silly person who like runs away and then like gets all mopey because the city doesn't get destroyed, and he like wanted to watch it get destroyed,
and then there's
to, like
a plant that like grows up in like one day and then like provides him shade.
That's totally gotta be a cartoon.
That's definitely a cartoon.
And then, oh no, I'm going to like mope because a worm came along and ate through the plant and it died.
Yeah. Maybe we should just include the VeggieTales version of Jonah like as the Book of Jonah.
I think that would be a good relationship. Now Job. What do you think about that one?
Job.
There's, like, different parts again, right? Because there's the intro with the prelude where God and Satan are all arguing, like, oh, you see my man Job, he's, like, so righteous, and Satan's like, oh, no, he's not.
That's got some, like, serious, like, computer animation stuff going on there, I think.
Could be. But then...
Then there's this, all these passages of, like, Job's friends, like, arguing with him and, like, explaining why it is that he's done something bad and so God's punishing him and there's no way that he couldn't be being punished because that's simply the way that the world works, and him being like, no, I didn't do anything to deserve this. You have a not good understanding of what God must be like.
So with the, like, a bunch of people arguing back and forth,
making really long speeches,
one of the first things I think of is, like, a forum or something where people are just getting into, like, I don't know, a Reddit war or whatever, and
that,
going back and forth.
That sounds very appropriate.
Which, it would definitely cut up the length of them, probably. There would be lots more back and forth, not like, I'm going to talk for a chapter, now you're going to talk for a chapter. Because that's not the way that people have conversations. Generally not, like, you give a speech, I'll give a speech, now your turn.
Yeah. I don't know, sometimes, like, there are definitely, like, comment wars where people, like, write long things. It's one of those. It's like, someone's being trolled is what's... Job is being trolled! Or Job is trolling his friends? I'm not sure which is happening. But someone is being trolled because there's no reason that anyone would write super, super long things like this unless someone was, like, intentionally provoking it. Ooh, so there's Deuteronomistic history, which is what we described earlier, which is like the story of how Israel got punished for not following Deuteronomy. But then you also have First and Second Chronicles, and First and Second Chronicles are sort of like, compared to Deuteronomistic history, they're sort of like revisionist, because they like mostly just include all the good things that Kings did, and sort of avoid talking about, like, some of the bad things that, like, David and Solomon especially did. And so, that could be, like, a history textbook. You know how our history textbooks tend to, like, gloss over, like, slavery and, like, genocide and stuff?
Or when they'll be like, oh yes, and there were African workers in the United States. Like, no, no.
Yeah. Yes, it's like, oh, yes, King Solomon, he was super wise, and he built this really beautiful temple and stuff. Skip to the end!
In terms of other stories that are like, we're doing awesome, our history is awesome, like, what about Ruth falling into that?
I don't feel like Ruth is revisionist, it's just, ooh, what is Ruth? The thing that's fun about Ruth is, like, I think Ruth is written in a context where it's after coming back from the exile, and, for instance, people like Ezra and Nehemiah were like, hey, don't marry people who aren't Israelites. It's not a good idea. It's going to prevent us from, like, following the laws, and we're going to get punished again. Don't do it. But they're, like, super intensely strict about it. And so Ruth is sort of the story of how, like, actually, sometimes it's good to marry foreigners, and, like, hey, guess what? King David was, like, born to, you know, someone who married into Israel from outside. So it's more like a WikiLeaks, actually, than, like, a than like a revisionist textbook. It's sort of the opposite there, I think.
Uh-huh.
Or like a Uncle Tom's Cabin. It's like a, it's a very like, anyway, it's like a text of resistance in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a lot of parts that would just not be included in the main sections and would need to be moved to footnotes or appendices or...
Gosh, that would make the Bible so much more readable.
In the version of the Bible that I had growing up, there was, you know, various sections that they would build out where it's like, okay, this is tables of weights and measures that you can use for helping understand stuff better, or here's a list of some of the kings in order and like a brief summary of them, but you could just like really expand that and like take giant chunks out and do that with them.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of having appendices at the end that explain certain parts that are still in the Bible, just actually take those out. Just move them to the appendices and leave them there.
And you can have little, you know, pointer notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have the little number 37, and then you can look up 37 and find out what it means and who Adonijah is or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be sweet.
I saw a version of something like this done with Pride and Prejudice, actually. They took the story of Pride and Prejudice and said, all right, if this were made today, this would be more like a vlog. And so you see the entire thing as this series of vignette videos that are being filmed from a webcam on a computer. And, oh no, here comes mom. Better, like, hide and turn it off for now, and I'll get back to you later.
Yeah, this is the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it would be fun if somebody actually, like, undertook this project and went through and just said, like, we're going to find the best genre for each portion of the Bible and reinterpret and reimagine it as those, so that you had a Bible that was instead of, like, a book that you would get, it would be a flash drive, and you would plug it into your computer, and it would be composed of all the files that would make up the Bible with the spreadsheets and the CAD files and the Word documents and the music videos and blog posts and rap videos and everything else.
I want this so much. That would be so amazing.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe we should try and see if we can get somebody on the internet to make it for us.
Yeah. Hey, internet.
If
please make this for us. Thank you.
Gonna crowdsource that.
Let's crowdsource this. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a part that you want to do, just let us know which part you're gonna take on.
Sounds good. Please and thank you, internet.